That's the book. And what will be the fate of the human and the talking gorilla? Like that, there is one sentence that was very striking. It's a nice
That's
book.
Like Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
So the in Planet of the Apes, that guy who's Cornelius or whatever, he's like this super, super wise ape. And he tells that, you know, the humans are the only ones who just destroy everything. They don't build and they don't like give back and they don't nourish the land, so to speak. They just take from it and expect that it'll still be there. So, yeah.
And this kind of talk is there in King's Punjab as well. That guy, what is his name? He speaks like this. So he puts SIM card in everyone's brain and he blows up. I forget his name.
Oh my goodness.
do you remember, sir, that guy in Kingsman Job, the villain? He says, humans, they take.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in the Planet of the Apes, it has, at least the most recent ones, that was a very kind of philosophical type movie about, it had a lot of different things to it like that.
I have a question about the recordings. When I try to access recordings of these talks, it asks for a passcode, and I don't know what the passcode is or how to get it.
Oh, Kathleen sends that out with the it'll give you the link, and then it'll have it'll say passcode, and it'll have this little thing. You can also watch them on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. I think it would be better, you know, in the email invite, right? So the YouTube channel where people could watch the, you know, historical thing. But I don't know, maybe that will make people that, okay, neglect. We can watch later.
However, because usually when Kathleen sends it, then I'll go ahead and I'll grab the link, I'll download it, and then throw it up on YouTube. So it'll be available on YouTube the same day that I get it from Kathleen.
Yeah, the passcode is at the very end of the link. I send you the link, it's at the very end of it. It's a weird thing. It's a bunch of different symbols. So it's a very strange looking thing, but it is the passcode.
Okay. Now I see it. Yeah. Okay. I guess I just wasn't taking my time to read what it says.
I had the same problem myself. And I discovered eventually that there's a passcode at the back.
Yeah.
Okay. End of the link, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Zoom does that. I don't know. They didn't used to, but now they do.
I had a heck of a time signing in today for some reason.
Oh, you mean for this meeting?
Yeah, it was like really slow. I don't know if
anyone else said that, but... Because for that, I also put that on the website, the Ramakant Maharaj Dakshina. I put if you're in YouTube, you'll see, go to the homepage and the link is there for this meeting. You just click on it and come in.
Yeah.
So multiple ways do same thing.
John, this week, right? You said last week, how means meditation is the way. This week, you know, I try to do, you know, a bit of deliberately, you know, chanting. So it worked out somehow. The whole week I was able to, some of the things, you know, which were unexpected, some fears, they surprised out. So I just trying to aware. Chanting is much powerful than what I am aware of. So sticking to that, would be easy in many things, you know, trying to approach in rational way and deal with them. So subconsciously it would pluck out, you know, prune those fears, blocking away oneself to be aware. So I think it's one should stick to mantra.
At any yeah, time. Most definitely. Like Maharaj says, it's the broom. You know, you remain with mantra instead of trying to figure out whatever it seems to be needing figuring out, and everything works very nicely, and your mind is not troubled. Your mind is kept busy with mantra, and you naturally see the spontaneous actions without any sense of a doer or without any sense of I need to think about what's happening in this moment. Mind is kept busy with mantra, so it's spontaneous action in the moment, which it is anyway. It's only that there's a thought process going along with the spontaneous action of I'm doing this spontaneous action, or what spontaneous action needs to be done next. Of course, you're not thinking it's spontaneous. You're just saying, okay, this has to happen, then that has to happen, and this has to happen. But when you keep your mind busy with mantra, the spontaneous actions occur, as they will anyway, but without the thought process.
Thank you. So, I agree. Like many of the actions, as you said, right? They were done without much of deliberation. So yes. Earlier, I used to worry about the consequences and worried about what is the right course. But when I was doing that, right? Like maybe there are times when mind was supposed to focus fully. At that time, it might have stopped. But other times, it was running in background. It stopped, you know, going behind unnecessary thoughts, unnecessary concerns. So that energy, you know, has helped whatever that, you know, leakage stopped, right? That helped to take right out. Thank you for constant reminder. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, the mantra, it sweeps away all the illusory thoughts. And then once the illusory thoughts are gone, the reflection of presence in mind, selfless self reflection, is so strong. And then it's so that I am that. Like that's the natural, because you're no longer chasing around all these thoughts. You know, you're able to see the spontaneous action in the moment. There's not a need for thinking about this or thinking about that. Speaking's happening, hearing's happening. Actions are occurring in the moment, and you're not worried about results. So there's no thought process of how is this going to be for me? And then there's that reflection. Presence reflecting in mind as the sense I am, I exist, and reflection, recognition in the projection, that very just amazing power that you are. And this comes quite naturally, because when your mind is kept busy with mantra, then the factory of thoughts, it's like you put a wrench, you know, the factory of thoughts, it's all these gears turning. The mantra, it puts a wrench, so the factory stops. And when the factory of thought process is kind of suspended, then it's empty mind, and the reflection of presence is, it's powerful. It's like a mirror. You know, you can't, it won't reflect because there's too much dirt on the mirror. The dirt on the mirror is all these thoughts, all these illusory thoughts. And you know they're illusory thoughts because when your mind is kept busy with mantra, the thoughts are ceasing or at least slowing down. So then you see yourself in the reflection of an empty mind. You see yourself.
I could see where my thoughts are like a sort of like an indulgence that just they like to keep going in a sense. And if when I do mantra, it's not like I don't want to do mantra. It's easy to do. It's fairly easy to do mantra. It's not, but it, you know, it's just it's no longer the indulgence of thought doesn't, you don't need it. You realize you kind of don't need it. And so I guess eventually you probably realize you don't really need anything.
Well, mantra brings you to that stateless state, that no mind. And that's where the reflection of presence and the blank mind is a mirror that reflects so strongly. And you know yourself in a real sense, because you're not involved in the body-based illusion of thinking or in the body. It's an empty mind reflecting presence. And that's it. And now you will train in doing this to desire or to move towards this reflection of presence in a blank mind rather than all the thoughts that are passing through. Now the thoughts can pass through, but we talked about it's like the ant with the magnifying glass. Because this reflection of presence in this empty mind is so strong, and you're knowing yourself in a real sense, as thoughts come in, they're burned off. Like you're not paying attention. They just dissolve. And then you're in that absolute stateless state.
The sense of indulgence is no longer there.
Yeah, you're so far beyond anything, because that's where there's no experience, no experiencer. The body is still going through these various things, but there's no experience being created because there is no, as was mentioned, expectation of an action or a sense of doership of this action. It's just spontaneous action in the moment, scenes coming and going. And you're just remaining. There's no experience, no experiencer. If at all you're experiencing anything, it would be the sense of presence. And even that eventually will no longer be, because you'll become one with your unselfless self. The sense of presence is like the reflection.
I don't know if this has anything to do with meditation or not exactly, but or with mantra. But sometimes if I can, I'll just be laying there, and it's not necessarily focusing on the mantra. I might be, or I might not be, but I can also be focusing on like the visual field, kind of. And the visual field starts to become kind of hazy, and everything is somewhat indistinct, as and then just like a, so it's almost like a haze starts to take over the visual field. Does that ever happen to you? Or I don't know if that's just me. I remember I used to do that when I was a kid, and I can still do it to some degree, but
the main thing is paying attention to the one to whom this visual field is appearing and disappearing. That one's not appearing or disappearing. That one has no haze. That one is absolutely pure light, basically, in which these things are dancing. Mm-hmm. All appearances are illusion. Whether they're appearing in so-called thought process, appearing in so-called waking dream, or appearing in so-called dream, sleep dream, all appearances are illusion.
Including feelings.
Everything.
I was reading something from Ranjit. He said he concluded one of his satsangs with, "You see it, but it's not true, and that's the magic."
Yeah.
I like the word magic. It's just like,
yeah. Yeah, everything you experience, everything you've ever known, all the knowledge you've ever had, all the people you've ever met are all within the bubble of illusion, and the magic, so to speak, is kind of like the illusionist when he pulls the rabbit out of the hat. The rabbit is not living inside this hat. Just as when you're speaking to mom and dad, and when you're speaking to your boss, and when you're speaking to all this, that's the illusion. The illusion of separate bodies, of separate people interacting. That's the magic, the illusion. That's like when they saw the lady in half, and they put one half over here, and you're like, oh my God, look at that, the lady saw it in half. Then they put her back together, and she stands up. No harm done, because it's all illusion. So that's the daily existence. And that's why you leave it. You don't get upset about the illusion. Like, if you're in the audience, you see the lady sawed in half, you might be like, oh my God, that's terrible. And for a moment, you may not have the reality, because the appearance is that this lady is sawed in half. Then they put the lady back together, and sigh of relief. But that's like the snake in the rope. The lady was never sawed in half. It was the appearance believed in through conceptual, basically understanding that this lady has been sawed in half, but it's not true. It was only an appearance. So there's no need to freak out or to worry or to be upset, because it's not true. Oh, the electricity in the house is flickering.
In response to
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
Okay, so it's an illusion. We'll show you an illusion.
Yeah. Okay, it's an appearance. We're going to turn out the lights. Nothing appears. Be happy.
No, you are self-illuminating. You don't need any other light.
Yeah, it heard what you said, you know.
But yeah, that's the, you know, and that's why Maharaj says, we're refreshing your memories. Because these memories that you have of being someone and having experiences and living a life and having a family and all this sort of thing, that's the illusion. Refreshing your memories with mantra, a blank mind that reflects, and you know yourself in a real sense. Oh, so that I am that. This can be happening. This can be show of dancing things and such, but it's not true.
So when you say refreshing your memories, you mean refreshing your memory of yourself, or what do you exactly you mean by refreshing what memories?
To know yourself in a real sense. Prior to memory, prior to body, prior to world. Because you're formless and you'll know this. And you just remain with that sense of presence, that sense of I am, that I exist. Just die, just die.
It's really not really a memory per se. It's just what you are, I guess.
Well, because all memories are false.
Yeah.
So refreshing your memory is throwing away all the illusory thoughts. You know, I am born, I'm going to die. I hope that I die a nice death. I wonder what happens to me after I leave the body. All these sort of things are illusory thinking and can be tossed aside, because you know yourself in a real sense. Knowing yourself in a real sense, just I without anything. So absolutely the absence of all things, no experience, no experiencer. So birth really won't make sense. Birth is a misidentification with a body form, that the body is the plant that if you feed and water it, it grows. And then eventually it loses the life essence, so to speak. So the body is the same, and you're like grass or a plant or anything. because all things are illusion because you're formless. So all the things are appearances within the formlessness that you are. Therefore, you don't get involved in any of these form-based things. Yeah, the light is really having a trouble in my house. Keeps flickering. But it doesn't seem to be bothering Zoom, so it might just be my light bulb is going.
Oh, maybe you need to do the light bulb. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I could see sometimes, you know, the light is going.
Yeah, very crazy.
Maybe it's a reminder that one day everyone will have to go.
Yeah, basically that's true. And you don't say that the light bulb's dead. I mean, you can say, oh, my light's not working, or whatever. But the energy and the power that was powering that light bulb, whether it's shining light or whether it's not, is still there. We just can't know that it's there because we know that this power or this energy is there by it causing light. But when the light goes out, the energy is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. And as soon as you take another bulb and put it in, then you see, oh yeah, it hasn't gone anywhere at all. And the only reason I knew it was there is because the light was light.
I read the exact metaphor earlier today on a post. Somebody's post.
There we go. Yeah, that was all staged. Like it sounded really.
Did you read that same? Did you read that same post?
You know, there is one Indian book on non-duality, Bhagavad Gita. And there are two characters, Arjuna and Krishna are talking. The guy Arjuna is the one like disciple there. And he was despondent and couldn't proceed further in the war. So the conversation happens in the war. And he tells like, you know, I realize that whomever I'm fighting, those are all my relatives. And how could I go and, you know, kill my teacher who taught me this archery and my relatives? And then he says, you know, I can't do that. I can't go further. Then he says, whether you are going to do it or not, that is eventual. So as an individual, you are, you know, bestowed with one responsibility to take part in. Otherwise, you know, the order will be, you know, will be shaken and everything will be in chaos. It's better to take up this war. Why? Because, you know, in reality, there is one soul or one. He says one Atma is there. So this Atma, like as long as body is having the capacity to be a placeholder for it, it will be there. Once it loses that capacity, then it finds another shell to continue. So it always there actually. So to experience, it finds another shell. So you no need to worry about it. So like that, he tells in one instance. Similarly, like you said, like this bulb, the energy is always there. So when something is there to tap, it will be shown through that, you know, light, its existence. Once it loses its capacity, it goes to its natural state. I think. Or it is always there. So now this thing is...
It's always there. It's powering everything all the time. And whether there's a light that's shining or whether a light is not shining, the energy is still there. We try to say this individual body, but this individual body is just like the light bulb. Okay, this individual body no longer sustains the essence. The essence is no longer in this individual body, but it's everywhere. There's nowhere it cannot be. It's just stopped imagining itself in that moment as an individual.
There's a sentence in Das Bode where he says, everything that the mind sees is in the form of imagination. And, you know, there's an introduction, it's an introduction to a book, a translation of the Bhagavad Gita by a particular author. He said that, you know, like, the mind brings categories to experience or to what's out there. And he used the idea of, you know, if his dog looks at a ripe mango, probably what does the dog see as opposed to when he looks at the ripe mango? And, you know, like one time I read that Ramesh Balsakar said that basically the light bulb is simply a mass of energy, a dynamic mass of energy, a vibrating mass of energy. And it's like we impose upon it, maybe with imagination, characteristics such as name and form and so forth and so forth. But all there really is just the energy. It's all the movement of wind, you know, like the illusion. And I don't know if I'm expressing myself clearly, but we impose, we actually create, we put name and form on what's there in a sense, but it's not really what it is, or we interpret it from that point of view, but actually it's simply energy or power or spirit or whatever. I'm not sure.
When that's like in Siddhartha Mishra, yeah. Maharaj talks about in the Master of Self-Realization, a wall. We say a wall, but if you break it down to its finest ingredients, it's like cement. And then cement, if you break it down to its finest ingredients, is like sand and rock. And you just continue. But we say it's a wall. Or it's a house, which is now four walls. And then a little roof. But if you break it down, and that's why the Das Bodh goes and breaks down all of creation down into the five elements and then says how these five elements are. Because why? All this is illusion and imagination. And then there is the reality. And the reality is not imagining. There's absence of anything. It's formlessness. There's nothing. There's no imagining. There's no experience, no experiencer. There's a, but it's not the experience of not experiencing, because it's the reality. It's the underlying, I think it's called substratum of all, in which everything is able to appear. Then the stirring of the wind, and the wind with the fire, and the fire with the earth and the water and all those sort of things. And then it builds all the way up to the house you're living in, which is not a house, because you tear it all the way down and it's back to cement and mortar. And then cement can be taken down to sand and rock. And then the sand can be taken down to water. And then the rocks can be taken down to earth. And then of course the wind would blow all of that away. And just like that. So it's deconstructing. And that's what the mantra does, but without having to go through the process of deconstructing. Because the mantra erases imagination, erases these illusory concepts that seemingly build this world. And then you were with the reality. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's one of the forms of dissolution, right? With the mantra or the knowledge. It's one of the, he talks about different forms of dissolution.
Whatever the mind is focusing at a particular time seems to be what the mind is saying it is, but at the next, from one moment to another, the mind is focusing on something else. And so what became of what you were focusing on a moment ago? It's we think that there's like a consistency to there, to the things that the things are their own existence somehow, but we never really know that. If once your focus is gone from something, you don't really know what it is anymore, at least to my, from the mind's perspective. So well,
remember too that the mind came along with the body, so everything that the mind can conceive is only within the form-based illusion. You know yourself in a real sense, you're prior. So that's why you eliminate all of this. And then you understand that before any experience can be, you are. Before any thought can come, you are. So you are prior to every experience, even the experience of the knowledge of existence. So if you're prior to the experience of the knowledge of existence, what is there to think about?
Just slack off.
Yeah, you're prior to the experience of the knowledge of existence.
Don't get hung up.
So now if you're thinking about what? Because anything that you can think about is absolutely illusion. It came along with the body and the world, and the thoughts will be about the body and the world, and you're prior to the knowledge that you exist. Because this knowledge that you exist has appeared to you, because you're prior to every experience. So you remain there.
So in a way, I guess life could be considered easier from that without getting wrapped up in the constructions.
Yeah. You remain prior to the knowledge that you exist. And then you know that just like this is not really a house, it's just sand and rock put together in a certain way. Same with all of the world and all of the thinking and all of the bodies and all of that. And now you participate. You have a body, do what's in front of you and leave it. Spontaneous action in the moment. No need to think about it because you're prior to the knowledge that you even exist. The knowledge that you exist appeared to you. And you don't even have to know what this you is to whom the knowledge appeared, because everything that appeared after that is absolutely illusion.
So you just go with the flow, I guess you could call it.
There's no you to flow. You are the flow. Yeah. And then you don't even know that you are the flow, because there's no knowledge of anything. Other than you could say you use this body in the times where you might be getting lost in the illusion, to remain with your selfless self and refresh your memory. So that I am that, just I, prior to the knowledge that I exist, I am.
Like to practice this mantra meditation, right? It needs faith, you know, like how a true Christian believes that Christianity is the way to the God. That's a faith, because, you know, he doesn't know that, you know, it's a way to the God, because if he's already know, then he no need to tell that it's a, I need to be faithful to this path, because he's already there. So it's, but till one reaches that point, you know, this immense faith is needed. now, like many people comes with a, you know, rational background into the spirituality. What is truth? Who am I in real sense? So this, with this, because of this rational background, you know, one tend to validate the things, you know, they want to see substantially what is there. Okay, is it right or wrong? And accordingly they proceed. But in mantra, right, meditation, in mantra meditation, it builds on faith. Like, you know, the faith that, you know, this is that, you know, spiritual guru, you know, going to eliminate the concepts. So now, how would you, you know, advise? You know, I struggle actually, maybe still that struggle a bit there. You know, that's why there is no continuity in the this recitation. Like, you know, maybe for days it will happen again stops. Whenever the life hits back again, it goes back. So how would you tell, like, you know, this like, you know, so-called rational mind that, you know, this faith is required, you know, to be penetrated.
I mean, the rational mind is eliminated through mantra. And the more you do and remain with mantra, the more you see that everything is as Master says it was. Then faith becomes knowing. Like, you're not having to, I think Maharaj tells it best when he says, take one step forward, Master takes the next step. So you remain with mantra. You'll see the results because you just came and tonight you reported on this last week. There were many times where by remaining with mantra and constantly having mantra running, that you saw that your body was going through spontaneous actions and you weren't trying to figure anything out, nor were you trying to have expectations. This was witnessed, this was seen. So that's the faith, that's the knowing. And now you know. In my own case, I had already started to feel the presence. And I was given the grace, whatever you want to call it, that I knew Maharaj was the presence that I was feeling here in America. I'm feeling that presence. I've come to believe that this presence is this my concept of God. And I knew Maharaj was that presence in form. God had come to earth to tell me what I needed to do to finish my spiritual journey. And I got on a plane. Even though I didn't like traveling by myself, and a few years before that, there's no way I could have, but I was going to go see God. So I got on the plane and I flew to India, and I flew into a country where I didn't know anything about the country, and I had full faith and trust in the Master because I'm going to go see God. So what can go wrong? And I went, and then I saw Maharaj, and Maharaj put his hand on my head, whispered the mantra, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to be one with this mantra. I want you to practice mantra meditation so much that you are then one with the mantra. And now you're just listening to the mantra running through the body naturally, as it did anyway. But now you're aware of this running through the body naturally. And as you see this, you'll remain more and more with your selfless self. And any experiences you're having, don't tell anybody, just come and talk to me about them. So that's what I did. I did what my Master said. As I was going through these different experiences and the pride of body had fallen away, it wasn't like I wanted to say, oh, Maharaj is going to think ill of me for having bad feelings in the jewelry store. Or something like this. No, Master said, report everything. So that's what I did. I went, I said, you know what? I had these bad feelings. Okay, it's good. Now you experience this. Now keep mantra. Okay, Master, now I have this a bad. No. Keep mantra. Okay, Master, now I've had this food poisoning. Oh, keep mantra. And that's it. I did what I was told. Because I absolutely knew that presence was in the form of Maharaj saying, you are not body, you are not body, you're not going to remain the body. That presence is all there is. You and I are one and the same. It's just the body forms that are separate. Remove the body forms and you're one with the master, obviously, because there's nothing appearing that seems to be separating. That's what Maharaj says. You are master, you are Brahman, you are Atman. And many people will say, ooh, I'm master, that's so good. Let me open up shop and start collecting disciples. But that's not what master's saying. You are already master. That masterly essence is within you. It's within all. There is no difference between master and disciple. These are illusory concepts. And again, came along with the body. Prior to the knowledge that you exist, there's no disciple, there's no master, there's no mantra, there's no anything. And that's why Maharaj says, even the mantra, eventually, when this spontaneous conviction happens, the penny drops, so to speak, then also mantra is illusion and falls away. But in the beginning, it's very important until you come to that empty mind of reflecting selfless self so strongly that any thoughts that come between are burned immediately. They're just burned. And now, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities, but know that it's entirely not true. It's one big, as Andrew said, one big magic show. A lot of lights, a lot of ladies sawed in half, rabbits in hats, people, you know, escaping from water tanks and such. It's all just one big magic show. Enjoy, but don't go and like, oh my God, you know, all the anxiety. Oh, I have so much anxiety because this is happening. No, it's all a magic show. It's all illusion. Because it's all you reflected in millions of mirrors appearing as all these different people. Like they talked about the little dog that goes into the funhouse of the mirrors and he sees all these angry dogs and starts barking at all these angry dogs. And he's like, it's driving him crazy. But he went in as the angry dog barking at himself. If you go in as a peaceful dog, then you'll see 1 million peaceful dogs looking back at you. To spend some time with you. Because all the talking, you know, the books say you're formless. The master says you're formless. All the talks say you're formless. But until you have direct experience of your formlessness, you'll only speculate. What is formless? When you have direct experience of your selfless self, there is no need to conceptualize that. You just are. And the deeper you look within yourself, there's no experience, no experiencer. Nothing is there.
I guess I could see where it could be a little bit of a trap if you start saying you experience, talking about your experiences, because in a sense, okay, you're talking about it, but now you're not having the experience anymore because you're talking about it. And that then you could tend to think, well, now I really am not having the experience anymore. That's like, then it's no longer a reality, and it's just all talk. You just basically a little bit fraudulent in a sense.
Because all experience is illusion. There's no experience, no experiencer. One of the most beautiful things with Maharaj, every time I told him about an experience, he said, okay, back to mantra. You know, remain with yourself, the self. All experience is illusion. And I might be really excited about telling him, wow, you know, this is happening or that's happening. It's okay. Remain with yourself, the self. All experience is illusion. Where all experience ends, there you are. So all experiences are progressive steps. And that's just like the mantra. When people would come to Maharaj and say, you know, my crazy mind, it's just bothering me. The more I do mantra, the more my mind is bothering me. I can't sit and be with myself, the self. The mind is just going crazy. And the more I do mantra, and then if I stop doing mantra, then I feel peace and ease. But you continue mantra. You'll mantra through these experiences until there's no experience, no experience, or even the experience of the mantra will not be there.
John, could you see, you know, the blooming tree? Just, you know, it's a digression.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Very nice.
It's blooming everywhere. The trees, if you could, anywhere, right? I don't know. Maybe the camera resolution is not that great. Yeah. Like, see, light. We started in dark.
Eventually. Right, right.
Sunrise in India.
Sunrise in India, indeed.
Does the tree have flowers on it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, blossoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not your winter time there, then, I guess.
It's about to end. So February mid ends here by February mid.
Ah, okay. So you're in your spring, basically.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I could show other. This area is full of trees. So yeah, in distance.
Yeah, everything's all the trees have leaves.
Yeah.
Our trees don't look that way.
Yeah, no, our trees are just kind of just branches all over the whole place. And
yeah, Rami, we're going to have a big snowstorm this weekend.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
We should send you some pictures of the snow.
Yeah.
Good. I would look forward to see. I don't know.
It does not look like that.
Wasn't there in India, I read something about a glacier or something that
Not within the Himalayas, yeah.
It's in north, you know, northwest, like Himalayan region. So if you come to the southern part, it's very hot, you know, hot.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's in the south. I belong to India.
Yeah, I'm in Bengaluru. You might have heard. It's a Silicon Valley of India, this.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Uh-huh.
Sorry to digress. You know, I don't know. I felt okay. Maybe you guys are at home night. Maybe it would be nice simile.
Yeah.
You know, to compare how it will be.
Yeah.
To find out. Thanks. I'll stop here.
The birds too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's morning, right? Yeah. 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 Pigeons, you see a lot of pigeons. And yeah. The big trees
are
there.
Monkeys.
Right?
When we were there, there were a lot of monkeys and peacocks.
See that is in like some hilly area, not like in residential areas, but yeah, you see monkeys as well, but not in our area.
Yeah, because that's like a small city or town. Where
yes,
you
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a city only. In the city, it's one residential area. It's not like in America. So the buildings, there it's made of wood and right. So yeah, it's all concrete.
Right, right.
Good. Then I just, you know, stop broadcasting. let's not overwhelm me with this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, he's reading a book.
Does both.
He does both.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it is 8:15.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. See everybody.
Thank you, everyone. See you next week.
Peace. Bye.